see, what makes a man righteous is obedience. And so, though he was baffled, once the... And Our Lady must have said something to him. If they were already, as they were, betrothed, she had already explained to him that she had consecrated her virginity to God. And he agreed to that. Now she's with child, and she tells him, you know, this is how it happened. And now the fathers of the church are divided about what happened after that. You know, some say, well, I mean, you know, she'll have to be stoned to death, I guess. But lots say Joseph understood that this was beyond him, that this was so holy, and that he'd been entrusted with this mission to be the father of the Son of God, to be the husband of the Queen of Heaven. And so he did that. Now, the word, as Matthew tells us, you see, he's pondering all of this, saying, you know, really, I'm not equal to this. This is such a holy and awesome mystery, you know, that I should get out of here. I should get out of here. St. Bernard says, St. Joseph's reaction was a lot like Peter's at the miraculous draught of fishes. Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. And Joseph was saying probably, this is, Lord, this is too holy for me. Whatever it is, you know, Lord. And the angel came. The first thing the angel said was, don't be afraid to take her to your wife. You know, God's got this all worked out. And you are the one who will be the foster father of the Son of God. You are the one who will save his life by taking him and his mother to Egypt. You are the one who will come back and live in Nazareth, a quiet place, where he can grow up and be completely influenced by human causality. I mean, like, the impact of a mother, particularly on a child, you know, on those deep primal images that govern life, all of them came from Mary. But many of them, you see, on the physical level, the human emotional level, or whatever you want to call it, Joseph mediated to the humanity of the Son of God that same love, protection. He's the shadow of the Father, so what the fathers of the church call him. Now, you've got to be darn holy to be married to the Queen of Heaven and to be the one who mediates to Jesus on the human level who the Father is. What kind of love, what kind of strength, what kind of protection, what kind of Joseph had to have. That's why he's the patron of the church. That's why the Pope wanted to be, you know, installed today on the feast of St. Joseph. Well, how do we try to get an idea of how great Joseph is? I think we have to just pray and ask the Lord to show us. Because where's the norm? You know, how many other people are foster fathers to the Son of God? know, what, how do you apply this? How do you, you see? Well, he's a man, and he's going to protect his family. And he's a father, and he has to raise this son. It's his job. And so, but it took centuries for us to start to take his measure. You know, now we have the feast of St. Joseph, patron of the church and so forth. But for centuries, he was just there, you know. What kind of holiness? The other gospel that we have a choice today, we could read this one or the one in Luke where Jesus just completes his bar mitzvah. Huh? He's 12 years old. So now he's a full Jewish man. And he's obliged to the whole law. And the ceremony, you still have it here, the bar mitzvah, the son of the commandment. He has to read a text. Maybe answer some questions about it. And so these, you know, the fellas around, these very venerable old Pharisees and doctors of the law, are asking him questions, and they're amazed at his Jesus's answers. But you see, so then they finally find him, and he says, "Well, why were you looking for? Where else would I be, except about my father's business?" And Joseph had to, I mean, can you imagine how he felt? I have failed. I don't know where he is, and God told me to take care of him. But it's one of those things you can only get a hold of if you pray and ask the Holy Spirit, you know, to open you up to get it. We've had great intellects, saints, armies of people who laid down their life for the Lord. And we have Joseph. And that's, as you know, that relationship, Joseph and Mary, and then with Jesus. That's the model for a Christian family. St. Thomas asked the question, well, can we really say it was a marriage when it was a virginal marriage? Oh, yes. Because besides the man and the woman, there's a child. And that's what makes a family. And so, like most of the great things that have happened in the church, they're not dramatic. They're too profound for that. And so we have Joseph. And so Joseph awoke, and he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took his wife into his home. It would take me too long to go through the marriage ceremony that implied in that, you see. But he had to just trust God and do what God was telling him. So, on this day, when the Pope begins his official reign as Pope, under the patronage of St. Joseph, we should really pray. Really pray. Because this Pope also embodies the strength of humility and innocence. And it's stronger than all the armies. You may remember this story. Somebody said Pius XII was the Pope. You know, you better pay attention to the Pope. Stalin said, how many divisions has the Pope got? You know, what kind of an army has he got? All Stalin could think of was brute power. Well, the Pope is still going strong. And Stalin and the whole regime in Russia is not, even though there'll be some trouble from that angle pretty soon. So let's keep praying, but let's remember that the touchstone is authenticity. You know, if we give our whole life to God, if we really trust Him, see, then we're authentic people, we're authentic Christians, and God can do what He wants with us. Now, because it's a big feast day, we have to have a creed as well.